to introduce our second speaker, Patty.
I'm an addict named Patty.
Hey, Patty.
How y'all doing?
Good.
CPR, CNA. I wasn't sure I was going to make it, man. That line is long down there. That registration line was long. The people... Is there somebody here named Kenny? Kenny let me cut in front of him and got me up front so that I could get up here and do my thing. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
So I haven't been to a convention here in 10 years because I get nervous around a lot of people. I didn't used to. I used to tour with the Grateful Dead for a long time, but standing in line to see them was quite different than standing in line with you guys, because y'all complain. You complain and you carry on, and man, they got to do something about this registration thing, and we got to figure this out, man. We've been standing here, we haven't moved in 30 minutes, and you know, at concerts we'd just be, you know, smoking and joking, right? My clean date is March 28th, 2004. I owe it all to Narcotics Anonymous. I had no idea what my life was going to become. I'd like to talk a little bit about what it was like drinking regularly out of cups about this size. I don't know if you all know what I'm talking about. Every day. So I come from a big old Irish dysfunctional family, and I was the middle kid. My father died in front of me when I was a kid, and by the time I was 15, I felt like I was in the way, so I left. Dad was a pilot for the Friendly Skies, back when they were Friendly Skies, okay? And so I could write a pass and go anywhere I wanted to go for free. So I packed my little bag, you know, the stick over the shoulder with a little knapsack, and I flew as far away from Washington, D.C. as I could get. And I landed in the desert in Phoenix, Arizona. 6 months later, I came home half dead. By the time I was 17, I was incarcerated and pregnant with my oldest. Sick. Nobody to call. I had a kid at 18. And... I kind of dried out. You know, on the weekends, I was like a weekend warrior, I guess. You know, I was like, I'm clean. You know, I'm taking care of this child. I'm clean. By the time I was 19, the state of Virginia took that child from me. Addiction took a hold of my life and shook me so hard, it shook that child right out of my arms. Did not mean that I didn't love her and that I didn't want to show up for her. I loved her more than life, but I couldn't stop. I could not stop. It didn't matter. I couldn't put it down. That fueled things for me, you know, and I just continued to use for the next 10 years. I came into Narcotics Anonymous in 1995 with a four-month-old baby. The kid got placed in foster care, was being raised by family. Horrible situation. She was suffering greatly. And so I came in 1995. I got clean, got a sponsor, started going to meetings, started working some steps, you know, and got a little bit of hope. And I continued to do that for the next 5 years. Went to a meeting, you know, had a sponsor, had a service commitment, was involved. Some of you guys remember me. Had a bunch of kids, had like three kids, boom, 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 three kids in 3 years. My last two aren't even 12 months apart. So for 5 days out of the year, I got two kids, my two youngest, that are the same age, and they're not twins. Those are my crazy 5 days that I give myself permission to be crazy. So, the disease came knocking. And I thought, well, maybe now that my life is together and it's good, and there's no possible way I could lose what I have, all this external stuff, the house, the husband, the car, the nails, the bling bling, all that stuff, the kids. I'm not going to lose that, man. I'm just going to go over here for a minute. Just for a minute. I'll be right back. And so I 4.5 years later came crawling back in. I don't believe it was on my own accord. I really believe that that was my higher power that led me back into here. I give all the glory to my higher power, you know, for leading me back to you guys. I walked in here. I was 95 pounds soaking wet. I didn't have teeth. I'd been homeless. I was kicking 150 milligrams of methadone. I was sick. I kicked in the rooms. I was desperate. I had nowhere else to turn. The kids were gone. The house was gone. The husband. I was homeless. I had nowhere to go. I had nowhere to go except to come to you guys. And you talk about scared. Man, I was ripping and running, you know, on the streets, right? I was like bad to the bone. Oh, she's a baddie. There goes Patty. You know what I mean? Like, put me in here with you guys and a bunch of people that are working a spiritual program of recovery. I was petrified. I had no idea how or if this was going to work for me. I wasn't convinced that this was the solution for me when I walked in here. You know, March 28th, 2004. Sunday night meeting, third tradition. And I couldn't finish my sentences. I was absolutely, I could not stop crying. I cried some more. You couldn't talk to somebody, come up and hug me. You know, they were like, is she ever gonna, I was that girl. Y'all know, you know what I'm talking about? I don't know. Maybe I'm alone here. But some of us come in here so broken and so beaten, we can't breathe. I was that person, you know, and but I did everything they told me to do plus some. I went to a meeting every day the first 2 years. I was clean, you know, I got a sponsor, I got a service position, I started the flat book. There was a lot of controversy about the flat book when I went out the first, or when I was in the first time, whatever. And I wanted to be a part of, so I grabbed the book and I started writing. And I did my first step at a Starbucks in Sterling, Virginia, in front of, and I was convinced that everybody in the Starbucks heard my first step. And it was all about me, and I surrendered. I said, I can't live without this program in my life. And my life is unmanned. I'm totally, completely powerless. I can't do this by myself. You know, and then by the time I got to the second step, I always thought that, you know, being raised like in a religious family, holy rollers, whatever you want to call it, I always thought that I just got to have more faith. I got to pray more. I'm doing it wrong, man. I'm just doing it wrong. Like there's something wrong with me because I just don't get it. I don't feel this love everybody's talking about from their higher power. And I was resentful and I was angry. And then it happened for me. And one night, my higher power, the higher power that's still with me today, said, you know what, Patty? I believe in you. I believe in you. I love you. I have faith in you. I was like, me? You believe in me? And I want to help you in your recovery, in your journey. I got a plan for your life. So when that happened for me, at 11 o'clock, midnight, whatever it was a night, you know, it was real easy to take the next step and say, okay, and decide to turn my will and my life over to that. Because finally, I had something outside of myself that believed in me. I didn't have faith in you guys. I didn't believe you. I thought you were joshing me. Do we even say that anymore? Dang. Y'all were joshing me. We used to say that in seventh grade. Anyway. You know, and so what I found out is that then I got the opportunity to get into the exact nature of my wrongs in four, you know, and write about it. And then talk about it. Share it with another person, you know, in fifth step. And six is where the rubber hit the road, man. Six is where I realized that all the limitations, that all the things I used to tell myself, oh, you can't do that. Things like that. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, I can't do that. Oh, I'll never be able to do that. Oh, I'll never be able to get a job. I'll never be able to drive that, you know, that Mercedes-Benz or the Volkswagen or the BMW or whatever you like. External stuff. I could never get a 9-to-5 job. Yo, I was a contractor. I am a contractor. But, you know, a couple of guys picked me up. And they taught me, they put a paintbrush in my hand, and they taught me how to cut in and how to paint. I was unemployable. I was on paper. I was a mess, man, when I got here. And some people said, oh, she's got potential. I believe in her. I'm going to help her, you know. My sponsor used to say, bring your body and your mind will follow. So I did. I went to a meeting every day the first 2 years I was clean. Did I say that? That was hard. Because I didn't have a car the first 6 months I was clean. So that meant I had to pull the phone out and learn how to call you guys and go, are you going to a meeting tonight? I need a ride. So I did it. And I wasn't always in it. I remember sitting in a meeting one night and looking at the guy next to me going, I looked at a lot of guys in my first couple years. I just have to say that, you know, I didn't do it right, y'all. I did not do it right. I went hog wild, okay? I really, really did. My disease manifested in other areas of my life that I did not know affected me and affected my relationships, affected my self-esteem, my self-worth, my ability of experiencing self-acceptance, self-respect. I went hog wild. I was a mess. I was a wreck. Anyway, I learned a lot of lessons. I learned a lot of lessons about myself. I learned a lot of lessons about, you know, limitations. I was humiliated. So in my sixth step, all that stuff, there was no denying it. There it was. It was kind of like a friend of mine talks about driving down the road, living in a car, eating, throwing garbage in the back seat. Where is she? She's in here somewhere. Yeah, there she is. She always talks about this, you know, and then suddenly stopping, and all that garbage comes up in the front seat. So my sixth step was just like that. And when I heard that message in a meeting, I was like, oh my God, there's somebody else that understands what I'm going through. I've got all this garbage, and now I have to identify it, because some of it isn't garbage. Some of it's some good stuff, man. Like, I can use some of this stuff, right? Hope, you know, faith, prayer, meditation, service work, H&I. Love H&I, you know. Sponsorship, you know. So seven was just a deeper level of humility, a deeper level of surrender, you know, just like the first step. I just had to surrender to my defects. I just had to surrender to some behavior that limited me from continuing to have a conscious contact with the God of my understanding and open the door and walk through and go, here I am. I'm not all good, but I'm not all bad either. You know, and our literature talks about that. I'm just me. And so suddenly all these, and it also talks about, you know, the basic text talks about how we have fractured personalities when we walk in here. You know, and I was so broken and shattered when I got here. And in the sixth and seventh step for me, I began to feel whole again. I started to come together, man. You know what I mean? Like, I started to feel kind of complete. A little bit. You know? And I got a little bit of hope and a little bit of faith. Well, maybe I can. Because I had all this evidence of the previous step work that I had done and the results in my life and the relationships with my children who came back into my life, you know. Look, when I had 9 months clean, I hurt my ex-husband so bad. That guy served my divorce papers in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. Like, in the meeting. Like, the attorneys walked in the room. They said my first and last name and serve papers. I resented him. Whew. Oh, everything was his fault. Everything was his fault, you know. But in six and seven, I started to be able to kind of look at, like, my part in all that stuff, you know, and started to, like, in eight, guess who made the list? Guess who made the list? Blew my mind. Poof. I was like, you have got to be kidding me. He made the list and his mother? Like, no way. No way. He made the list. And so what happened over time and over years is all of my resentments that I walked in here with, his fault, her fault, well, if he hadn't, then I wouldn't have. If she hadn't, then I wouldn't have. All that stuff, all those people, all my resentments became my amends. And I was like, there it is. I ran to my first. I was like, oh my God. My resentments became my amends. And they're all on the list. And now I got to figure out how I'm going to go to them and make it, you know, what? Blew my mind. So I start grabbing people in the program. I'm like, how did you do it? How did you do this? How did you have this conversation? And I prayed and I meditated and I shared about it and I wrote about it and I wrote some more and, you know, and it wasn't when the time came, I began, my prayers started to change and I started to pray for God, put these people in my life. I was no longer afraid of saying, I'm wrong. I was wrong. This is how I was wrong. And I'm not living that way. I hope you understand and can forgive me. Some did. Some haven't. You know? So, it was quite different than that typical junkie anthem of, I'm so sorry, man. I'm so sorry. Yeah, I slept with your boyfriend. I'm so sorry. I won't do it again. They'd be like, bitch, please. You know what I mean? They didn't believe me. But this time, I had some evidence and I had a little bit, you know, it says clean time, our basic text says, our sometimes in the ninth step, our clean time speaks for itself. So I had a little bit of evidence that this program was changing my life. I was becoming whole. you know, I stopped messing around and I quieted down a little bit. Went through the divorce. It was messy and ugly and all that. Made the amends. You know, picked up a few sponsees. And I made a lot of mistakes. I continued to make mistakes, and I continue to learn from my mistakes in 10. And so 10, when I see 10, it's like the word, it doesn't say, I admitted that I was wrong. I see promptly, right? Promptly. Because when I drag my feet and I allow fear to move into my life and to keep me from doing the next right thing, it makes it harder. It just makes it harder for me. So I'm prompt today, you know, most days. I don't do this thing perfectly, you know. And so my 11th step, you know, it says, so we began, I love this line. I know everybody hates it, but it says, we opened up like a flower in the sun. Right? Or something like that. It says something like that, right? We blossomed like a flower in the sun. I've always wanted to be a flower in the sun. You know what I mean? I'm a flower in the sun. And it's like, and the sun is my higher power that feeds me, that shines the light so that I can find my way on this journey to the still sick and suffering addict and carry a message of hope. The promise is hope. The message is freedom. And I'm no longer limited by the same old garbage I used to tell my, by the disease of addiction. The disease of addiction is very powerful. We all know that or we wouldn't be here, man. But my higher power is much more powerful than this disease, so I've discovered. You know? And I'm just so grateful to be clean today. To be at the beach. You know? I'm a business owner. I've got all this wonderful... I'm remarried, you know? I married a guy I met on a methadone clinic, man. Like 12 years ago, and he wound up in jail, and I thought it'd be a great idea to start sending him literature. He was kind of cute back then. I did. I sent him literature. Uh-huh. And then I started 2 months later skipping to the mailbox. I wonder if he wrote me back. That was 11 years ago. I've been married. We're coming up on 9 years. You know what I mean? So my life is really full. I'm not pushed around by fear today. I don't feel like getting high today. Not to say that some days I do. Some days I do feel like getting high. That's the incurable part of this disease for me. I'm not going to stand up here and lie to y'all and say, oh, the desire to use has been lifted. No. That's not my experience. If it is your experience, awesome. Keep coming back. Because I need you. So I guess my time's up. And I'm just really grateful to be here. And I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you, Patty. Thank you, everyone, for attending. We will now form a circle.